Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's going on, everyone? Bear Bet Podcast is back. I'm your host, the Bear, Chris Felica, joined alongside my colleague and co-host and friend, Jeff Schwartz. Sammy P and Will will be joining us shortly for the gambling group chat. And I don't know, maybe I'm just a dork who grew up on Long Island, who loved football and was one of the idiots in the crowd at either the Madison Square Garden or where the Forum or the theater, whatever the hell they were before actually getting to work this thing. But I love the NFL draft. Fewer things draw my like ire and love. Maybe it's because like it's the combination of college football and the NFL. It's kind of like graduation. And yes, you see these guys and then they maybe go into your favorite teams. You get to get worked up because the Jets take Kyle Brady instead of Warren Sapp or one of the million poor Jets draft picks of my growing up. But Jeff, this is just a great fun time. Yes. And do you have any memories of draft day, or you want to save those for the guys in the gambling group chat? Well,
I mean, I can get to my favorite draft day story personally by myself, but I think the draft bear, it's about hope, right? The NFL more than our league sells hope, right? Your team can get better. Look where the Texans were last year at this time to where they are now. The NFL sells hope, and you get yourself a quarterback, you get yourself a wide receiver, you get yourself an offensive tackle early in this draft, and that solidifies your team, and your team takes off afterwards. So that's why I think it's the best. Now, look, Bear, I was a seventh round draft pick, okay? So, and there was the draft was 2 days back when I went through it in 2008, and the first round saw eight offensive tackles taken. This might break it, by the way, this year in the first round. And then the second round saw two. So there were 10 total taken on the first two rounds on the first day. I thought, Bear, you know what? I'm between like the 10th and 15th best tackle. I must be up soon. And they tell you, don't watch the draft if you're not going to be a highly draftable player. So I'm a dummy. I woke up at 6 a.m. on the West Coast of my parents' house. I went into my dad's office. They have a futon, got comfortable with a futon. The third round rolls around, Bear. Name doesn't get called. The fourth round rolls around. Name doesn't get called. Now, as you get into later rounds, teams will call you, all right? And they say, hey, man, the offensive line coach calls you. Scott, hey, we're interested in drafting you. Just sort of pay attention to TV. And the reason why they do that is because they want to sign you as an undrafted free agent. They want to make the appearance they like you. So I get some phone calls in the fifth round. And then by then, Bear, I almost had enough. I went outside. I played basketball with my dad. Took a walk. Like, at that point, I just was done with it. Got some more calls. Sixth round, we actually had a deal in place to go to a different team than the Carolina Panthers who drafted me. I'm sitting on the couch near the end of the draft. The Panthers call me. Brandon Bean, who's now the general manager of the Bills, he called me. He was with the Panthers then. And he said, are you excited to be drafted? Are you ready to be drafted? And I said this, at this point, I don't even care. I was picked 241, Bear. I've been sitting in front of the TV for so long that I just was over the process. It was my fault. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have gone up at 6 o'clock and watched five rounds of the draft where I saw players that I thought I was better than. And of course, they said, of course, you know, like, hey, welcome to Carolina Panthers. I was super excited. We actually had a party at a local restaurant up the street that was scheduled for me that my dad called off because I hadn't been drafted yet. And then everyone sort of showed up anyway. So ended up being great. I played 8 years in the NFL. I had to look up where the Panthers played though. I didn't know it was Charlotte. Thought maybe it was Raleigh. But it was great. And then the flip side, very quickly, my brother, the second round draft pick, I think he picked 36 to 37, 38. He went earlier than we thought. We're just on the couch. The Browns call, Cleveland calls him. He gets drafted like that, like immediately in the top of the second round. And then the day was over. We just like went to go eat. That was it. It was like the cleanest thing of all time. He just got drafted the top of the second day and we just moved it along. So two very different draft stories from the Schwartz brothers.
I don't care.
I was so over it. It was my fault. They tell you not to do it. I did not listen.
But that's the thing that, like, and you're not the first to say that, like, you're almost better off at that point not getting drafted. That way you can go to a team that maybe you have a better fit with and a better chance of sticking as an undrafted free agent. But I mentioned before how, like, finally getting to work these drafts.
Yeah.
And one of the more enjoyable experiences about working the draft is I worked countless drafts with Howie Schwab. Countless NCAA tournaments with Howie Schwab, and everybody knows the name. I shouldn't say everybody knows the name. Most people who are of maybe our age growing up and remember the show on ESPN, Stump the Schwab.
Oh, yeah.
And Dick Vitale certainly mentioned Howie many, many times. Howie passed away this past weekend, and Howie is one of the biggest mentors and influences in my career. I kind of saw a bit of myself and Howie being like the New Yorker sports encyclopedia, always knowing what I wanted to do. And I'd like to think Howie kind of maybe saw a little bit of him in me, maybe in the same manner. But Howie's the reason it was an ESPN research department. Howie took me under his wing when I got there and kind of showed me the ropes and how to make some of these encyclopedic notes work in short form for either TV to get on air to give to whether it be Dick or Digger or Fowler or whomever the lab and whoever it was. But Howie passed away suddenly this past weekend. And I just wanted to take a minute to just kind of give a little note of appreciation towards him. He worked at Fox for a while as well and kind of did a little bracketology segment for them. But he was really a big teddy bear, and I had spoken to him actually just during the NCAA tournament. I obviously didn't realize at the time it was going to be the last time I got to talk to him, but it's a sad day, but hopefully he is not suffering from chronic illnesses that he had developed over the last couple of years. But Howie, we love you. And I know there are a lot of other people out there who feel the same way. And a lot of other people who you impacted in the way that you did with me. So I just wanted to say that off the top, just because it was a good natural segue for working with Howie at the draft and kind of grooming me as well and kind of shared the same passions that I did and he did as well. So with that, we will head on over to the gambling group chat. Will Hill, Sammy P, Jeff, and myself, we're going to kick around a whole bunch of draft talks from where should certain player go? Should the Patriots really take Drake May at 3? Should J.J. McCarthy go in the top 5? What's the one thing you don't want to hear on Thursday night that will actually torpedo your draft? So without further ado, here's the draft version of the Gambling Group Chat.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Well, as advertised, time for the gambling group chat. Will, Sammy P, Jeff. I'm going to kick around the NFL draft. And this is really one of those things. It's kind of become a recent phenomenon in betting. In recent years, books don't like hanging numbers on the draft because it's not really, and Chris Andrews is basically one of the guys who's come out and said, like, it's not a game. It's like, that's why he doesn't like booking it, or he doesn't post it at the South Point, because it's purely information based. It's speculative, and it's one of the things that bettors kind of maybe have a little bit of an edge if they get information prior to someone else. And Patrick Everson wrote a little story about that on FoxSports.com, so check that out. But I guess, as is every year, the story of the draft starts at the top with quarterbacks. We know Caleb Williams is number one. We think we know Jaden Daniels is number two. And the draft kind of starts at three. So, like, the books have posted in total of 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round, over under. And the price has really fluctuated on this. It started out low. It got up to like minus 360 or so, I think. And right around now, it's still right around like minus 290 or so. 286 is what I had just seen it. One of the spots here that I have available to me. So what do we think? We know for sure they're going to be four, Sammy. And obviously the rub is the fifth. Are we going to get Michael Penix or Bo Nix in the first round? What do you think?
Penix has the ability to go in the top 32. I honestly believe that. It just takes one team to take a flyer. And there are some teams at the back end of the first round that might not need a starter at this point, but need that backup depth. And Michael Penix, he's an older cat. He knows a lot of offenses. He can zip the ball around the yard. That's not a bad guy to plug in for a veteran quarterback in the low to high 30s, right? Or like the low 20s to high 30s. I think he makes more sense than Bo Nix. Jeff, you watched a lot of Oregon. We all watched a lot of Oregon. Every time I watched Oregon, Bo Nix threw a screen pass to a wide receiver who made a miss and ran for 70 yards. I don't know that Bo Nix is ready to make NFL level throws. So if you're banking on a quarterback to go in that like high 20 to low 30 range, I think it's Penix. But at the end of the day, you know, we know it's four. Our fingers are crossed for five if you're betting the over 4.5 quarterbacks first round.
Well, I think we're easily getting over. I'm not saying that you should take the wager at the price it's at, guys, but I just think we have too many teams that need quarterbacks at the top of this draft, and they can wait to the second round. I mean, look, if you want to stay strong and wait for Michael Penix at the top of round two, I mean, good luck, right? Like, are you gonna let him pass all the way through 11, 12, and 13? If we assume that the top four or five picks end up being four quarterbacks, I can't see that happening. The Broncos desperately need a quarterback. I'm not sure Penix is their guy, but their quarterback right now is Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson. Like, they're not leaving the first round without a quarterback. Look at the Vikings. We know they desperately want Drake Mayer or McCarthy.
Jeff, I need to correct you. What? Don't forget Ben DiNucci. He's in that quarterback.
I'm sorry. Ben DiNucci as well. Yes, I'm sorry. My bad, Ben. I apologize for that mistake there. So I think we're getting five. The question to me is whether we're getting six. Well, I don't think Bo Nix is going the first round, but I could see a situation where you get to the Broncos at 12, and all five are gone. Like, there's a chance that all five of those guys are gone. The Broncos get to 12, and what do they do at 12, Will? They just pass on a quarterback and hope he's there, or just ride with Stidham and Zach Wilson? I don't know.
Well, first off, I'm going to try to continue this podcast, but Bear mentions the books and complaining about losing. I get all broken up. It's like watching Bambi get shot. Anytime these books lose, it's just so sad. It just... Oh man, God forbid there's one thing that they don't win on. They just cry like they never win on everything else. So it's just ridiculous.
They have no advantage at all. Oh my goodness. Every day someone's coming in and
so hard to be a bookmaker.
They have a red number in that ledger. So I really do feel bad for them.
It's so hard getting plus 110 on everything. It's just so hard. Look, I don't think Nix goes in the first round. I don't know how Denver approached. I don't know how you go into the season in the AFC West with Mahomes and Herbert in your division, all those great quarterbacks. It's basically superhero after superhero in that conference. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, it's just ridiculous. And you're going to go in with that quarterback room and go in Bo Nix. That seems like a stretch. I don't see Nix going in the first round. And Jeff, I'm curious, do you think, I get the sense that like when you take a quarterback in the first round, that puts pressure on that quarterback, on that player, that puts pressure on the team that drafted them. There's some expectations. There's a label of the first round pick that comes with expectations where if you take Nick's 34th, even if it's a couple picks after the first round, it's like, we took a flyer on the guy. You never hear a second rounder is a bust, even though it's only a couple picks different. So I wonder if that factors into it. But my sense now is I kind of agree with the market where Penix probably goes in the first round. Nick's probably goes somewhere in the second round.
Well, look at the picks. Like, look at Will Levis. I mean, he's what, 30, pick 34? And everyone's like, I don't know. Maybe he's good. Maybe he's not. There's no pressure to be that.
He was going to go number one or number two in the draft, right?
Yeah. Just like the market we've seen change over the last week or so. But again, are you going to be comfortable waiting to pick 34 or 33 to draft your quarterback? We could take him at 12 or 13 or 14. That's my question. I think five, no doubt, get drafted. But the question for me is whether, you know, Nix is that guy. I'm not sure I'd bet on it, though.
So I think with the market moving to Daniels to like 400 now, I think we're kind of in, on the same page, and that Daniels is going to go second, which kind of means like the draft starts at three. And I don't know. I'm in the minority here, but I still think like New England, if they take a step back at three and either are open for business, which I would certainly be open for business, or they just need bodies. They need players. And I'm not sure taking a developmental quarterback in Drake May or a quarterback in JJ McCarthy, like, I don't know if that's the way to go. Like I think you're better off if you're in New England at three, you take Harrison or Alt or someone who you know this player is going to be a productive player for a long, long time. Like, probably the safest thing in like a draft right now is an offensive tackle who you know is going to be good, or an Ohio State impact rookie. Look at the past few rookies of the year in the NFL. It's an Ohio State who's who. But like, if I'm New England, I still entertain doing that, taking someone other than Drake May at three. And then at the top of round two, maybe if Penix is there or Nix is there, you take someone there, because odds are you're going to stink anyway this year. And next year you're going to be in the mix, whether it's for Carson Beck, for Quinn Ewers potentially. So I don't know. That's just me. Anybody, Sammy, you're up in Boston. Like, is there any thought to any of that? Or am I just kind of wishful thinking that a team finally is going to do the right thing and not reach for a quarterback?
The number one show in Boston is Felger and Mez, 98.5. They do like a 20 share in the market. It's insane. Like, one of every five people listens to that show. And their host, one of their hosts said, if you don't take a quarterback, you should be fired. And I understand you need a quarterback to win Super Bowls. We all understand that. Look at the last seven Super Bowl champions. Six of them had really good quarterbacks. The problem is, Bear, as you alluded to, and as I talked about a month ago, the Patriots aren't just a quarterback away, or just a lineman away, or just a receiver away. They are an offense away from being good. And I know people in New England don't want to hear this, but there's going to be some team that's desperate. After Williams goes one, and either May or Daniels goes two, somebody is going to be so freaking desperate to take a quarterback at three that you could trade out of three.
Yes.
And get Harrison at five, or all at five, because there's a chance it goes quarterback, 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 quarterback. And then you go down from three, you get a first rounder this year, you get a first rounder next year, you take Marvin Harrison, and then if you want to take a flyer on Nix or Penix early second round, you could do that, or you could punt the can down the road to next year. It's not like you bring one player in, Will, and fix the New England Patriots. They are handfuls of players away from being good in the NFL.
Exactly. And yes, they need a quarterback, but it's not like they have their choice of quarterback or set two quarterbacks. And this is the question. None of us really know the answer to it. If we did, we could make a lot of money betting this draft, because it's where really the draft starts. We know Caleb, we know probably Daniels. The question is, do they like May? Do they like who's ever left over out of Daniels and May? And if they don't, then where do they go? Do they take one just to take one? And we've talked about this before. Do they take one just to take one, or are they just at three, they weigh their options and say, you know what, all Harrison trade down. That's where the draft gets interesting. I don't know. Sam, do they? I don't know if they've leaked anything. I don't know if we get a sense. I get the sense, like, if we could talk about, hey, they could go these different directions. I still think they'll probably just want to change like the temperature, to change the vibe around the team and take a quarterback just to give the fans some hope, because, you know, it's funny to say about the Patriots, who have been such a dynasty here, but their win total is 4.5. Everyone's miserable. Fans are annoyed. They probably just want to take a quarterback to give the team some hope. Although I don't think it's a lock, but let me ask you guys, because I know the line moved on Daniels to minus 400. It was like minus 120 a couple days ago. What moved that? Did I miss a piece of information? Is it just being bet? Like, was there a piece of news that moved that?
It was that stupid top golf story that they brought in Daniels for a top 30 visit, and he went with a bunch of people instead of just one. You know, it wasn't just him by himself, and his agent was upset that it wasn't the visit they thought they were going to get. And so when that news came out, everyone's like, oh, Washington's not going to draft Daniels. Like that matters at all. Like,
but why did it move back the other way? Why is it?
Daniel Jeremiah do his segment that basically was like the last holdout. So Schefter has it. I think Breer might have it. All the mockers, like the most respected ones, are all kind of in agreement now that it's going to be Daniels. And look, I think do you think there's something too with Kingsbury? Like, he could have gone to a couple of different spots and had his say at quarterback, and he went to Washington. Like, I think Daniels fits what he wants to do offensively a little bit more than potentially May. So I don't know. I think it makes too much sense. And I know in talking to some people as well, who have spoken to people, actually Todd McShay on, I believe it was with Ryan Russillo, either with Russillo or Big Cat. He said he spoke to a bunch of front office people, and not a single one, I think it was like 12 or 14 different people he spoke to, who said that they would take Drake May over Jaden Daniels.
Wow.
And at the same time, it was a conversation as to whether they would want to take Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams. So I think that's the thing. Like, Daniels is so much closer to Williams than May and or McCarthy are to Daniels. So I think there are some front office people that see that there is a gap between Daniels, Williams, and then everyone else. And but the strength of this draft,
there is no one that would take Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams if they had the first pick in this draft. Like, they could say that all they want, and they could talk about, oh, we have this guy right. No one would do that. They're not a single team that would. I hate these stories because, yeah, it's easy to say that if you're not drafting a quarterback, but if you're number one overall, you're taking Caleb Williams this year. There's no doubt about it. So the idea that, oh, 12 teams have him ranked higher, I mean, great. They're not drafting.
Well, I didn't say that. I said it would be a conversation.
I listened to the podcast, but it nonetheless, again, it's not a discussion. And I think for number two, if Caleb Williams wasn't in this draft, there wouldn't even be a discussion. You would take Daniels over May. Like, that's my discussion for number two. So, like, if you're talking about, well, who would you take? If no Caleb Williams, everyone would take Daniels number one. There wouldn't be discussion about taking May number one over Daniels. So that's the way I look at the quarterbacks. But I just find it so funny how the draft talk gets us final week about things that they wouldn't actually do if given the opportunity.
And yet, at the end of the day, none of us are excited to lay $4 on Daniels. This is what happens if you're a bookmaker. The information comes out, two or three sharp cats bet you, and then you can move a guy from minus 180 to minus 400 in 25 minutes. So now what they're telling you, let's take the DraftKings market, for example, Daniels minus 400, they want you to lay $4. They're daring you to lay $4. And in some weird roundabout way, like, doesn't this actually give a little bit, a morsel of value on Drake May at plus 350? Like, now would be the time to bet Drake May. I had a guy tell me last week, Drake May is definitely going too. I had a guy yesterday tell me Jaden Daniels is definitely going too. They both can't be right. And here's the other part. The NFL has done a very good job this year at sort of silencing the noise. We haven't heard leaks. We haven't heard a lot of team-oriented rumors, because the more and more that these sports leagues get in bed with sports books, you can't have this stuff leaking. It can't be leaking in terms of draft bets, because that is Pandora's box, and you cannot open that up with these leagues being in bed with these books.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think usually any information that you get at this point, it's kind of agent driven, and whether it's a narrative to get one of their clients going or they're doing a favor for someone. I think it was Belichick that said on some show, like, anything, like, you don't hear anything really, nothing's getting out from the teams until like the day of the draft. So we'll see what happens. And obviously this draft, I think, is going to be dominated by offensive linemen and wide receivers. You're looking at a total of 9.5 for offensive linemen selected in the first round. We'll start with them. And if you look, like 10's the record, Jeff. Are we going to get 10? Like, I've seen Alt, Quagga, Latham, Fashanu, Fotanu, Mims, JPJ, Barton, Guyton, Morgan, and then that kid from BYU, Sumatia. I think it is, that right, Sumatia? Is that how it's?
Kingsley, yeah.
So that's 11 right there that I've seen mocked in the first round. Like, are we going to get all 11? Are we going to get 10? Or do you think that there might be a little bit of – I played under 9.5 because I think 10 is a lot. I think there are a couple of guys on that list that probably aren't going to go in the first round. So I'm rooting for 9.
There's 8 for sure that I feel comfortable with in that group. So that includes the 3 Fs, Fotanu, Fuaga, Fashanu, and that's Alt. And we have Graham Barton will be in the first round. Mims will be in the first round. Latham, I think that's my eight guys right there. And then the maybes are, I think JPJ at center is a maybe, Zach Frazier is a maybe. So one of those two, I think one of those two guys, so that's nine now. And then it comes down to Jordan Morgan. Is it Kingsley? I think it's too, there's too many question marks about where these guys might go at the end of the first round. Kansas City could use one. They could use a wide receiver too. I mean, like, it depends on, you know, the 49ers could use a right tackle. It there might not be a right tackle available. They might go somewhere else with that pick at 31. The plus, it's still plus money, right? To go under Bear, under 9.5 yes. right now. That yeah. to me would be the wager. I think that has to be the wager. You can't lay a number on a big maybe. I mean, 10 would be a lot when you look at where teams are at and how they stack the board.
I'm looking at under 9.5 plus 160 right now.
That would be my wager. I feel more comfortable doing that than hoping the Chiefs or the Niners, even the Lions in 29. You have to hope the Cowboys at 24 do the right thing and don't get, you know, blinded by Xavier Worthy or Mitchell to take it at 24. Like I would go under in this spot. That'd be more comfortable for me in this situation.
Yep, makes sense to me. I'm excited with all these offensive linemen going in the first round. For all of these fans that have opinions on these offensive linemen they've never seen, either loving the pick, hating the pick. Oh, how could you pick him? That's always the funniest thing to me. It's like, you wouldn't know this guy if he was next to you at the grocery store. Now you're gonna, you know, tell me who's gonna be a good left guard in the NFL. So that'll be fun. But yeah, the plus 160 is a good one. Bear, I don't, you know, look, we're in Connecticut, so I don't know how you guys are in Massachusetts and North Carolina. I think you guys can bet the draft. Bear and I have to be a little more creative in terms of how we find these markets. We can't bet it here, but the plus 160 certainly seems like a good number. 10's a lot.
It's going to come down to 32. We all know that, right? Like, with the 32nd pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select.
Yeah, we're going to be sitting on nine offensive linemen and six wide receivers with the Chiefs on the clock at 32.
Jeff's going to be asleep too, because that's way past his bedtime.
Oh, that's past my time. Oh man, I woke up this morning to the Nuggets Lakers score. I was stunned. I went to bed so early in that game. The Chiefs could trade out of 32. By the way, I mean, there could be a team that wants a fifth year of Bo Nix, trade up to 32, and then obviously you end up not having those offensive linemen. So it'd be tough to go to 10, in my opinion.
So about the 6.5 wide receivers, I grabbed over 6.5 wide receivers at like plus 168 or something like that. And I think there's a number. Yeah, you can get a better number now. It's 185 right now, plus 185 on over 6.5 wide receivers. I just think in today's NFL, spreading the field, attacking depth at wide receiver matters. And I think some of the things that have happened off the field, the Bills traded Diggs, the Rice issues with Kansas City. Like, I think that makes those teams at the back end of the first round, maybe they weren't in the market in the first round for a wide receiver specifically. But I think we're going to get to 7. I think there are players there who are worthy of being selected on the back end of the first round. And you, if you're picking there, you're probably not going to get one of them later in the second round or so. So I'm hopeful at that number. Jeff, you mentioned the Chiefs specifically. What I have the Chiefs to pick a wide receiver as well. I got that a long time ago, like minus 105 or minus 110. I think it's still around there. Do you think that, you mentioned kind of in passing what the Chiefs could do. What do you think they will do, just kind of knowing and following that team the way you do?
So I took Chiefs wide receiver in minus 110. So we're about the same boat there, Bear, a couple days ago. I think that they sort of have to, considering the Rashee Rice legal situation, right? I can't imagine he's not suspended at some point this season. Obviously, all crimes are alleged, but there's video, and the NFL is typically swift with punishment in these situations. And you're looking at 4 to 8 games, most likely, right? Depending on the legal kind of battle that happens in Texas here. Maybe it gets pushed to 2025. But if you're without Rashee Rice for a long period of time, you have Hollywood Brown, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Watson, and Travis Kelce. Like, that's worse than last year, okay? So I think that you have to get a wide receiver at 32. And you might even have to reach for a guy like a Leggett or like a Troy Franklin that might not be a first round guy, but you just need a bigger bodied wide receiver to be on your roster. And it's too, like, the other position is tackle. They need a left tackle specifically. There's not going to be a guy, in my opinion, that they're at 32 to play left tackle. There'll be some right tackles and some guards. And so, I mean, maybe they look at corner and Kool-Aid's there or Wiggins is there, but they have enough corners. So to me, it's wide receiver or nothing. And if they trade out of 32, it's like a wide receiver in the second round somewhere. So I like the Chiefs to go wide receiver. I don't see any other way, guys, and any other reason to go another position.
Don't you want to just keep Mahomes happy too?
I'm sorry. Well, I cut you off.
Don't you just want to keep Mahomes happy too? Last year was the first time we saw him frustrated. Now they got away with it. Those receivers played better. They actually caught the ball in the playoffs after being so bad for the regular season. But isn't there a little bit? Hey, we got the best quarterback on the planet. We have a good defense, great defensive coordinator. Let's give him a toy. Let's keep him happy. Let's have him, you know, somebody to throw the ball with, whether it's McConkey from Georgia, one of the Texas guys. Let's not waste our, because they cut it so thin last year and they got away with it. But if we were doing this show back in December, November, most of the season, we say, oh, they're absolutely drafting a receiver. They can't go into this receiving corner. Let's not forget that just because they won the Super Bowl. I think that's a need they have to address. And then Rice just accentuates that need, I think.
Sammy, I was looking, do you have anything in terms of like the order of the wide receivers? I mean, Harrison's obviously the big favorite to go one in this discussion. Like, who would be the second wide receiver off the board? Will it be Neighbors or Dunze? Do you have any thoughts on that? Did you play anything with those wide receiver props, or maybe a wide receiver that we haven't mentioned that's to go in the first round or a position?
Yeah, I didn't play any of the top guys. And, you know, it's been tougher for us, I think, to get a gauge on what's going to happen between 1 and 10. You can really find some value. I'm throwing the word value around like it's a hotcake for crying out loud. But like those 20 to 32 guys, we got a big position on Mitchell from Texas, under 28 and a half when it opened up at Circa. That's down like a whole number now to 27 and a half. But that's a 6'4", 200-pound receiver that is literally built and shaped to play in the NFL. Like he could slide in an NFL locker room and be a slot guy tomorrow. So, you know, those guys end of the first round to me are going to be those swing guys for a lot of these bets, for first round bets, for how many receivers in the first round. You're going to need a Mitchell to go in the first round. You're going to need, you know, a guy like potentially like Byron Murphy. If you're looking at some of these other positions in other markets, like those are two of the bigger names. They're both Texas players, Mitchell and Murphy. Like those are the two buzz names for me for the last week, that Mitchell's going to go lower than people think. And that Byron Murphy is going to go lower than people think. And Murphy a week ago was 16 and a half over under draft position. About 14 and a half now and plus 160 to go top 10. So sort of a hodgepodge of an answer there, Bear. I didn't touch Neighbors or Adunze. I think Adunze is very live to go to Chicago potentially to put more weapons around Caleb Williams. But if you're looking for a receiver deeper in the first round, even at 27 and a half, plus 150, under 27 and a half for Mitchell out of Texas. I don't think that's the worst bet, even today. You know, it's come down a little from 28 and a half to 27 and a half, but he could go 25 and I wouldn't blink an eye.
Yeah, and his teammate, Xavier Worthy, I think, is someone that Texas people think will go in the first round. Keon Coleman's kind of a fringe guy, didn't run well. Jeff brought up Leggett from South Carolina. Like there are guys there. You mentioned a defensive player, and I think for the longest time, but before we segue there, like I've heard Adunze to the Giants. Like I have heard that for weeks now. We'll see if that pans out. But I don't think the Giants are like interested in trading up for JJ McCarthy or taking JJ McCarthy. I think they're going to go wide receiver. So, we'll see if my intel on Adunze to the Giants is right. But you mentioned specifically the, defensive player. For the longest time, we thought it was going to be Dallas Turner from Alabama to be the first defensive player. But I mean, there was some major move on Byron Murphy, as you mentioned, to be the top defensive player gone. Like one point on, whenever that was that we were talking, it went from, I grabbed it at 16 to one. And then a couple of hours later, it was 5 to 1. There's talk about Latu from USC being the, or USC UCLA rather, going to be in the, for in the top defensive player. But again, he's a guy who's 23, going to be 24 during the season, had an injury history, like Jared versus another older guy. Like, do you want to, Jeff, I'll just ask you, like, do you want to take either an older player like that that might be physically that have a ton of room for development, or a guy like Latu who is productive but he's got some injuries? or like what if you're the Falcons, knowing Raheem Morris and the way he runs his defense, like what would your mindset be at eight? Would it be Turner? Would it be Murphy? Like what would be your first thought?
I think it's not going to be Lawton, right? I think an older guy with injury concerns is not going to go at eight. To me, it depends on sort of what you want from that position, right? Do you want sort of a more twitchier guy in Turner, or do you want a guy who is sort of just big and powerful? I think when you look at Murphy and the importance of, sort of playing inside now, getting that push from the inside guys, we know how important it is to get a quarterback off his space, essentially. Like, is that something that entices you more than Turner, who is going to pressure from the edge? I mean, it's the fact they have to decide sort of what they want from that position. That to me is the biggest question, is do you want inside pressure or outside pressure? I would lean toward, I think, inside pressure if you had to choose between the two of them.
Sammy and I are excited now.
I took it too, guys. I'm not a dummy. When you guys told me, I got a text from someone else who I trust in NFL circles, who said the same thing as you guys said. I already had the better number from the text that Sammy sent over. But look, I think there are certain people that you trust to give you information during the draft process. A lot of it's just smoke and fun things to read. But to me, there's guys I trust, I'm sure that you trust, that when you hear that, you just make the wager. And I did. I heard it from you guys. I heard it from someone I trust who told me that Walker was going first overall to Jacksonville a few years ago. I made a killing on that one. So I think Murphy's certainly in play here. When you see these guys, like, everyone's talking about it. I heard Jeremiah talk about it, McShay talk. Like, everyone's talking. It's got to be some truth to this guy. So I think Murphy goes there.
Yeah, from 16 to 1 to 3 to 1. I mean, there's a serious move there. That's a $13 move in a draft market in over a week. I mean, this is not Marge Simpson looking chicks betting $20, right? This is like serious cash. And then the information comes out and then everybody starts squawking about it. And our 16 to 1 and 14 to 1 and 12 to 1 bets look really good. The problem is the team still have to do their jobs and somebody still has to take him first. We have not won this thing by any stretch of the imagination.
No, trade certainly can affect some things. I guess the couple more go arounds. We've covered a bunch of different stuff. Will, what's something that we haven't covered that you have in pocket that you feel pretty good about that might still be something you have in pocket that might be good, or maybe whether you could still get that number, or it's something you have in pocket that you might not be able to get that number anymore, but even with the move, you feel pretty good about.
Oh, that's a good one. I will say I have Murphy with you guys. I got him 14 to 1. So I just have a feeling. I know it's a good bet right now. I just have a feeling that's going to be hanging out with Brock Purdy, 22 to 1 MVP. Yes. As these great bets that you just lament that don't get home. I hope it gets home. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm jinxing myself. But Barry, you must be using up a lot of gas because you're making this bet, that bet. We don't have it in Connecticut. So I don't know how much gas you're going to be driving across all the states.
Toll on 84 to 91. I mean, you don't get up to the Mass Pike yet. You just kind of go across the border. You get off at the edge, you go down, you make a right off the edge, you go straight through over the railroad tracks through the little town, come to a stoplight, go through the stoplight, and on the left hand side there's like it's an area of the road that's like specifically made for people to pull across and just park on the side and make bets, little stone path, and you just sit there for a little while and fire away.
How about this one? We'll bring your favorite team into the mix. I still like the Jets plus money to draft an offensive lineman. I know they can get the next Kyle Brady and Brock Bowers. He's going to be good, but that's
don't wish that upon Brock Bowers.
Look, everyone in that building is getting fired if Rodgers gets hurt early in the season again. Their job depends on Rodgers being healthy. And I'm not sure. I know there were a lot of rumors he was going to come back last year. I don't remember if that ended up happening. We spent a lot of time talking about him coming back.
Okay. Once they finally got eliminated from playoff contention, let's sit you out until next year.
Don't you agree though? Don't you have to protect the asset? And I know they addressed it in the offseason, but they didn't. Those guys are going to get hurt. It's almost like a pitching staff. Okay, you need five starting pitchers, but you really need six or seven because you know one or two is going to get hurt. Let's keep them healthy. So Jets plus money to take an offensive lineman, I think, is the way to go.
Tyron Smith, 33-year-old, whatever it is, Tyron Smith is going to stay healthy for 17 games.
But guys, the only pushback I have on this is it's the Jets. Like, are they going to do the right thing? Because they have to win now. If they do not win this season, potentially Rodgers' last season. Then Saleh's gone, Douglas is gone, like everyone's gone. And what helps you win better now? An offensive lineman or Brock Bowers or a wide receiver potentially at 10? Like, I think that in their mind, they might look a wide receiver and say, hey, man, that helps us win now more than helps us win. Because I mean, the offensive lineman is a better investment. Like, that'll help you down the road, but that guy might not play this year. If you have to tackle, Smith plays 14 games and Moses plays 16 games, and that guy's not playing this season, I could see them saying, we're passing on that guy and taking the offensive weapon instead.
Boy, they would love to trade back and get a second round pick. I'm with that, that giving up that second round pick for Rodgers and not having that this year is going to be bad. Was there anything that you had played that you want to share?
I just bet against the White Sox. That's all I do anymore.
Hey,
good strategy.
It is the only other guy. I think at this point I would bet, you know, it stinks honestly to have to do a show like a day before the draft starts to really heat up and say like, all right, well, I played this last week and I played this 2 weeks ago. But the reality is most of us aren't waiting until Tuesday, Wednesday before the draft. We're taking numbers, you know, sometimes weeks in advance. But if you're looking for a bet right now, I think the Alabama cornerback, Kool-Aid McKinstry, you can go under 28.5, plus 105, plus 110. I have a feeling that guy is going to sneak into that like 22 to 27 range. I did bet him, full disclosure, 29.5 last week. It's 28.5. If it lands 29, I will feel bad. But I think that's the type of guy that he either is going to go 23 or 35. Like, I don't think you're going to get hooked, as the kids say now, on Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's either going way before or way after. And those defensive backs guys from Alabama, they make plays in the NFL. And you know this, Bear, what Branch did last year in Detroit, like that will affect the way that they take guys from Alabama this year. So I do think McKinstry under 28.5, even at that number, is a bet that you could pick right now at plus money.
So on the flip side, and I'll start, like, what's one thing on Thursday night that if you hear, it's just going to torpedo your night? Like, for me, if I hear Bo Nix's name called Thursday night, like, I'm going to be driving down the valley a little way your way, Will, and kind of sleeping on your couch. I'll be visiting various blood banks in the area for the next 8 months to recoup. If Bo Nix goes in the first round, I will be absolutely underwater. I don't think he's like, I can't get Auburn Bo Nix out of my head, and B, I can't get 5 air yards to Oregon wide receivers.
Okay. Running I'm glad you mentioned this, because earlier today I saw a tweet that had Bo Nix, all the yards he threw behind the line of scrimmage. I haven't done this tweet yet, but I wrote it out. He had five throws this year that were 20% of that air yardage behind the line of scrimmage. If you take those out, he has the same number of yards thrown behind the line of scrimmage as Michael Penix. And that doesn't change Bo Nix at all as a quarterback. It makes 5 less passes, guys. Are we talking about Bo Nix as some check down merchant if he's the same number as Michael Penix? 5 throws. 5 throws accounted for 20% of that behind the line of scrimmage yardage. I don't know. I feel like we're overvaluing some of these numbers instead of just watching Bo Nix play football. Again, I don't think Bo Nix is going to be great in the NFL, like some superstar, but this talking point about yardage behind the line of scrimmage is completely silly to me. 5 throws, 20% of it, 5 throws.
So what's going to put you underwater on Thursday night? What don't you want to hear?
I mean, if McCarthy doesn't go in the top 5, that's not great for me. For the money I put on that. I also have a Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy for plus 700 too, exact orders. So I really enjoy if that were to hit for me. That's my longest shot of the draft.
Sammy?
Not that exposed, man. I think worst case scenario is Byron Murphy does not go 16th. So if he goes, you know, north of 16.5, that will be problematic. Most of my stuff is tied to him being under 16.5, under 15.5 to be top 10, to be the first D guy taken. So if Byron Murphy slides and all these guys are wrong, that will suck. I also, Jeff, did you take notes on a menu? What did you just like rifle over the screen? Oh, is that a menu or a notebook?
No, it's a notebook.
Oh, okay. I thought you were Andy reading us there for a second. No. Notes on a menu?
No. I have a physical notebook. I take notes like I write down notes in a notebook.
I love that. So, yeah, Bear, the Byron Murphy slide would be the worst for me. After my March Madness, I am not very exposed in this NFL draft, and I feel okay with that.
Will, you?
Wasn't too exposed on anything until yesterday, but now I kind of need Daniels to go second. I got some good numbers on that. Hopefully they're good numbers. So hopefully this intel, hopefully this line movement on Daniels going second is the correct one. And I just did a show with Steve Fezzik earlier on the draft, and he was talking about Caleb Williams going first, and he made a good point. Some of these books that give you bonus points or comps for just making bets, hey, you're not tying up your money for that long. If you can get bonus points, rewards, whatever, Caleb Williams, it's only, look, the draft is Thursday. He's going to be the first pick. Again, don't go crazy, but we're pretty sure he's going to be the first pick. So that's a good way. Like, you're in Vegas, you get, you know, I know some of these books give you good, you know, bonuses, give you good rewards for making bets. That's a good way to take advantage of that, because he's going first. You get your points and you move on.
What are you really doing?
Like, I wonder, and I don't know if in some of these books you might be able to, Like I know DraftKings is about, like, you get the crown accrual.
Yeah.
And I know Fanatics as well, before they banned me, you were able to you would get like three times sure. points on parlays. Like, if you could parlay Caleb Williams to go number one with like the Celtics
money, yeah.
the Heat, like you're tying money up for a week.
Right? I actually just did that. I just looked at Nuggets to win the NBA championship is +220. Okay. Nuggets championship and Caleb to go one is +221.
There you go.
That's
go
it.
The other way.
I'm gonna do a dollar.
Yeah. I'm gonna do that right now.
I got the app open
right now. I kind of like this.
Instead of +220, you get +221. It's a steal. Okay.
But you bring up something, Bear, like, and look, we've all been through it, and we're only a couple days away from the draft. Maybe, you know, by the time you listen, it's day before. There's going to be a lot of news even in this day or so. If you start chasing every rumor, if you start betting every rumor, let's just use round numbers. You bet $100 a game, you bet $1,000 a week. That's what you're comfortable with losing. Don't be sitting there on Thursday with $3,000, $4,000 in bets. And oh my God, I just bit off more than I could chew because I was chasing this rumor, that rumor, this could happen. Harrison go third, Harrison go eighth. Keep it in control. You want to sit there on Thursday and you want to be able to enjoy the draft. It's a fun event. Don't overbet. Don't chase every rumor. Just keep bankroll and management in mind, because look, I've been through that last year. Just betting this. It's like chasing every rumor. And maybe individually they were all good bets, but by the time you add them up, hey, you're competing against yourself. You can't win them all. And it's not like you bet a basketball game. Like, you can bet the Mavs versus the Clippers and you bet too much on the Mavs. You know what? I could just take the Clippers on the money line or plus the point. I get off it. Some of these bets with the draft, it's hard to get off it. So just keep that in mind. Enjoy the draft.
I think that's a great way to end the gambling group chat. Your PSA from Will Hill about the dangers of being overexposed. It was funny. Someone actually asked me this year if I felt I would, after last year's debacle, if I kind of cut back. And I was like, I really don't know. And I went back and I went and looked. And I think I may not have as many positions as I did last year, but I think I have stronger. I've invested more in the positions I feel strongly about. So yeah, by the time you listen to this, who the heck knows what's going to happen either Wednesday or even Thursday prior to the draft. But hopefully you can take some of that information and make some money this coming weekend. For Sammy, for Will, appreciate you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, Bear, another wonderful gambling group. I hope you guys got in some wagers for the draft. Lots of ways to make some money. If they hit Bear, the draft man, it's a crapshoot every year. This one feels very volatile, but we have best bets that we like for the upcoming draft, Bear. What is your best bet for the draft?
Well, initially, as of yesterday, when we had our pre-prod call, I was going to have Jaden Daniels to be the second, however you wanted to bet it, second overall pick, second quarterback off the board, drafted by Washington. They were all in like the 135-ish range, and now clearly it minus 400. You can't do that. I thought about Mitchell being the first defensive back off the board, and I do think that he will be. And you can still get that around minus 125 or so.
Good price still, yep.
We thought he was a freaky athlete, and I think he'll go before Arnold, but I ultimately settled on Joe Alt at +475 to be the fifth overall pick in the draft. And I know the Chargers have been linked to taking Neighbors or a wide receiver or maybe trading, and maybe they do trade out if the quarterbacks fall and people are worried about potentially not being able to get McCarthy if he falls. But I don't think the Giants are going to take McCarthy. So I think the Chargers ultimately are going to stay pat at five and take Joe Alt. Yeah. Look, Justin Herbert is the biggest asset that the organization has. You need to protect your biggest asset at all costs. And you do that by taking an offensive lineman who is probably going to produce at an all-pro type level for 8 to 10 years. I think it's a no-brainer. We've seen Jim Harbaugh with the soliloquy on the importance of the offensive line and team building. Like, Jim Harbaugh's not going to come to LA, the Chargers, and have his first pick be a wide receiver. Dedicated to the running game, dedicated to protecting the quarterback. I think Alt at +475 is a no-brainer bet that I am absolutely willing to lose.
I like this for many reasons, Bear. For one, if the Chargers are at five picking, that presumably means the top four quarterbacks or three plus one have gone, right? The one wide receiver being Marvin Harrison. Mm-hmm. And you look at what Joe Alt can do for their team and a deep wide receiver draft where they can get those guys in the second and third round. You're not finding Joe Alt after pick five or seven, honestly. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, Brandon Thorne, who's one of the best out there at grading offensive and defensive linemen. And we're talking about, like, has there been a prospect in the last 3 to 5 years that's just graded as high as Joe Alt? I threw it like a Penei Sewell. He wasn't graded as high. Joe Alt is a fantastic prospect. And Harbaugh had the Joe Moore winning offensive line for two straight seasons at Michigan. He knows how important it is to build that offensive line. You put Alt, you put him at right tackle, you find a wide receiver later in the draft. And for this price, for nearly 5 to 1, Bear, it's a great wager, in my opinion. So I'm going to make that wager.
I'm glad you followed up with that as well, because yeah, you do need a wide receiver if you lose Mike Williams and you lose Keenan Allen. But the depth at wide receiver is, whereas you can get maybe Xavier Leggett or Keon Coleman or another wide receiver like that high in the second round. Like you point out, the drop-off, if you go wide receiver, offensive lineman, that's not as good, and that's probably not going to get you as many points on the board as going offensive lineman and then whatever wide receiver is there afterwards.
I'm with you. And back to very quickly your point about Jaden Daniels. So this is why guys like me and you, like, we pay attention to the market every day, right? On the draft market. And don't pay attention to the wild moves. I don't believe in any of them. But there is a great opportunity, Bear, to get a lot of value in that, right? Like, Jaden Daniels for a long time now has been sort of unbettable to go second overall. Mm-hmm. The number's been too high. And just in the last couple of days, it dropped to minus 130. I locked in at minus 170. I didn't think it much lower than that. I got that 3 days ago, Bear. Now it's back to minus 400. So there's plenty of ways, guys, if you pay attention to the markets, to get value. It might not hit. Like, I think it's going to hit. It might not hit, but we're talking about value here, right, of getting Daniels at a much better number than you would have gone the last month. And now it's popped back to minus 400. My best bet, Bear, I'm sticking with sort of the Harbaugh Michigan theme here, but we're taking McCarthy, his quarterback the last 2 years, to be a top five pick at minus 130 here. Look, a lot of times draft smoke is just that, Bear. It means nothing, right?
Correct.
But I feel like McCarthy, though, there's too much talk about him being a top four pick to really not go in the top four, or really the top five, right? We know 1, 2, 3 is quarterback, and maybe someone trades to 3 for Drake May. Maybe that's the Vikings and they're out of the McCarthy deal. But the Broncos need a quarterback in the worst way, Bear. They have Jared Stidham and they have Zach Wilson right now. Like, someone's trading up to 4 or 5 to get McCarthy. I can't see him getting out of the top five, considering Arizona would gladly move back. I think the Chargers would gladly move back. if not too far, right? So we're talking, you know, Vikings and Raiders and Broncos territory, 11, 12, 13. So I think McCarthy goes in the top five. I get minus 130 still. Not a bad price to lay bear. What do you think about my best bet here?
I played some over 5.5 already. So I'm kind of
up against each other
on your best bet. So like I think Arizona, yeah, they're looking if you can get a haul of someone really. I guess the issue that I'm struggling with, and it's something that we've talked about all along with these quarterbacks, is like I struggle seeing him as a top five pick.
Like, so do I.
Why?
No. Why? I'm saying so do I.
Every year,
I feel the same way. Happen
with quarterbacks, whether it, I mean the list of quarterbacks that have gone in the top five since 2011, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Sam Darnold, Mitch Trubisky, Carson Wentz, Blake Bortles, you add in Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Josh Rosen, Daniel Jones as like other top 10 quarterbacks. And like every year there are these teams that try to convince themselves that they can be the one to have a different outcome with the quarterback that might be a bit of a reach. Yeah. And like I think Drake May, if he goes three, I think that's a reach. That's a project quarterback. I don't like the way his seasons ended each of the last 2 years with his production falling off and his team completely cratering. And I think Michigan kind of protected McCarthy some with a great offensive line and a good running game. And I'm not sure I hope all these guys pan out, but I see a scenario where you get Harrison at four, Alt at five, and then at six, the Giants take whatever wide receiver they want, Dunze or Neighbors. And then at seven, I think is the spot where the Titans could be open for business.
Yeah.
If the team still want, because they're moving up from 11 to or 12 to seven is a lot different from moving up to 11 or 12 to four. So I don't know that's kind of how I see it going, but, hey, look, one of us will win, and I'll be happy for I'll be happy for whoever of us wins. Right?
Well,
it wasn't a major bet that I made.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a plus money price. So at the time I made it, so we'll see what happens. Well,
by the way, I agree with everything you said about McCarthy and Drake May, but we see the thirst for quarterback, right? Like if you're in Minnesota, you're Denver, you're Vegas right now, you look at your quarterback room, especially in the AFC West, Mahomes, Herbert, Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, Stidham, Wilson, like, and I don't think teams look that far ahead to next season, Bear, but who's the best quarterback in next year's draft? Quinn Ewers, Sanders? Like, there's not.
I would say Ewers or maybe Carson Beck.
Okay. I mean, are those guys Drake May, McCarthy? I don't know.
Ewers absolutely is. Okay. I think Beck is as well.
Better or worse or the same?
I think potentially better.
Okay.
That's just me. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you on a podcast and sitting on a television set every Saturday.
You're a film grinder, Bear. It's okay.
I'm not a film guy.
You're a film grinder. All right. So, Bear has Alt to be the number five pick at +495. I have McCarthy -130 to be a top five pick, Bear. Those are our best bets for the draft Thursday, man. I cannot wait. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome to be just sitting down in the living room or downstairs. My wife is not gonna have any idea of how much money is potentially being churned in this.
It's better she doesn't
3
know.
Hours or whatever it's going to be.
I'll be in my son's Little League game, just like with my iPad set up, just. Like cheering for the, why are you cheering? I'm like, because McCarthy went four. That's why I'm cheering. So I have that to do on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting night, and hopefully I can do as good of a job covering my emotions as I did last year when I lost a significant amount of money in Anthony Richardson going to the Colts as highly as he did. So it will be fun. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully the best bets will hit off the gambling group chat. We kicked around some winners there. Speaking of winners, hopefully we'll have a winner or two. We'll figure out some ways to bet first Saturday in May, the Kentucky Derby and the undercard and the Oaks. Next week, we'll be having a pod next Tuesday. We'll be recording and dropping that poster coming out this weekend. PPs will be out, so I'll be able to handicap the race and break things down and see if we can beat either Fierceness or Sierra Leone, the two shorter prices in the race. So looking forward to the Derby and the Oaks and Derby weekend. Won't be going this year for the first time in a while, simply because I'll be going on vacation the following Monday, so I can't really pull that double. But we'll kick around the Derby next week. We'll see, maybe if we can get our guest or two. We'll figure that out. But until then, thanks, Will. Thanks, Sammy P. Thank you. Appreciate everybody out there for, again, listening and downloading and rating, reviewing, subscribing, checking us out on the YouTube channel. It's been a fun time here. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.